So Marty Feldstein is with you?
Right.
Okay, perfect.
Roger was going to call in.
Yeah, Roger's on. He's here.
On already. Thank you.
Okay, well, we can proceed, but we better proceed under your direction, Austin.
Okay. So I know everybody. Thanks, everybody, for taking the time to get on. We're going to do our first of our official meetings actually on the phone. So bear with us a little as we go through the format. This is a public meeting. The public is able to listen and comment on the meeting. There are a number of people on through an audio stream, and for those people, there is a Facebook application at whitehouse.gov/live that you can listen and comment on the meeting if you like. We are going to, each time a member speaks, if you would state your name so that the people taking notes will be able to document who says what. It's a public meeting. We have a quorum, which is that we would need to have nine people. Because we are not wanting to go over time, because a number of people are at the end of our discussion doing something else, I don't anticipate it to be a problem, but if in our discussions somebody starts going long, please bear with me if I cut you off. So the first thing that we have to do is, as of this moment, the official roll call at the start of the call. So why don't we just go around of which of the PRAB members are present on the call.
Well, I start off if I'm the chairman, Paul.
You
Paul.
Do.
Marty.
Okay.
With Paul.
They're giving me the signal that I am to read through the list, and you see, this is going to be like the old days, and you can say present. Okay, so we had vote. Anna Berger.
Present.
John Doerr.
Present.
Bill Donaldson.
Present.
Marty Feldstein.
Present.
Roger Ferguson.
Present.
Mark Gologli.
Present.
Jeff Immelt. Monica Lozano.
Here.
Jim Owens.
Present.
Charles Phillips.
Present.
Penny Pritzker.
Present.
David Swenson is not present. He was not able to make it. Rich Trumka.
This is Damon Silvers. I'm here for Rich. He's not present.
Okay. Laura Tyson is not present. Robert Wolf.
Present.
Okay. We officially have a quorum of nine members. Our first action is the procedural motion to amend the bylaws. Everyone received a edited copy of what we would amend the bylaws to, and that is the main two changes entail, number one, that the creation of subcommittees would not have to wait until the official meeting time to be voted on before they could begin, that the chairman could notify the designated federal officer that we were starting a subgroup. The second being that members can, a motion can be made by any member and no second is required. So why don't we have a vote on that, that anybody got to look to replace the language in our bylaws with the new suggested language, and we will go through the vote. How do we do that? Just go down the names? Okay. Our designated federal officer says yes. Paul Volcker, how do you vote on the bylaws?
Aye.
Anna Berger.
Aye.
John Doerr.
Aye.
Bill Donaldson.
Aye.
Marty Feldstein.
Aye.
Roger Ferguson.
Aye.
Mark Gologli.
Aye.
Monica Lozano.
Aye.
Jim Owens.
Aye.
Charles Phillips.
Aye.
Benny Pritzker.
Aye.
Robert Wolf.
Aye.
Okay, without objection, we have passed that. Okay, now our first substantive piece is the document on the Home Star Home Retrofit Program. why don't we begin by having the chair of the energy subgroup, John Doerr, give a, John, do you want to give a 1 minute overview description? Everybody received the proposed document and it's publicly available. Then we'll have a short debate discussion about it and we can vote on that one.
You can have 2 minutes, John.
2 minutes. Thank you very much. This work, the so-called HomeStar or Cash for Calkers program, is a sequel to our group's first report adopted by the PRAB, which said that putting a cap and price on carbon would be very important to the country's economic recovery. And at the close of that report, we cited there would be complementary measures in addition that would be important, including efficiency, energy efficiency. So in response to the national priority to create jobs and to do so quickly, this proposal to the PRAB that it advised the president and the administration that there's a terrific opportunity here is the memo before you. Simply put, we have millions of out-of-work construction workers. We have millions of American homes that can be and should be retrofitted for energy efficiency. We've advanced the idea of a program called HomeStar that would provide federal incentives matched by private homeowner dollars to stand up a great new American industry. That is one which for a long time to come would retrofit America's homes. Today, this industry is about 200,000 homes per year. We're proposing that at scale and over time, millions of homes per year could be retrofitted, generating a new permanent American industry with good wage jobs that would not be outsourced. And that in doing so, we'll save taxpayers money, homeowners money, and we can achieve our climate goals. Indeed, we probably cannot achieve our climate goals without doing this, and 20 to 25% energy savings across 100 million American homes is equivalent to taking half the passenger cars off the road. So this is a proposal we worked on for a long period of time with a lot of help from various parts of industry and the administration. My final point about this is not a fundamentally new idea. This is being done today. I think what's new is that our recommendation that the president stand up and endorse this kind of a program, and that he enlist all sorts of other actors, utilities, big box retailers, home rebuilders, to create a national HomeStar home retrofit effort. I'll pause there.
Well, it does have the opportunity for killing several birds with one stone, hopefully. We get some energy efficiency, we get some jobs more quickly than they might otherwise get them in an area where there is a lot of unemployment that may unfortunately persist for some time. You may spur some technological change. So it all looks pretty good to me.
This is Anna Berger, and I support it as well. I actually think that it's a terrific program. We appreciate the work done collaboratively across the board in trying to make sure all the issues were addressed. The comment that was added to it about the understanding about the parallel opportunity for large-scale efforts in commercial, industrial, and public as well, and that it's been noted that there has not yet been a study done of that. I would strongly encourage PRAB to commit to a study to evaluate extending the HomeStar program to commercial, multifamily, residential, industrial, and public sector as well, because I think that this is a terrific start. But to really be able to retrofit America, we need to take it to the broadest realm possible, which would include commercial, multifamily, industrial, and public sector, too.
Okay, that's great. I should have said at the outset that anybody, we are keeping a record of this call, but if anybody wants to make sure that they're, with their vote, that they, if they have a signing statement that they would like to make or any comment about the proposal, if you send that to Emmanuel and to me, we will make sure to get that on the website that anybody could read it.
Also,
Yes.
This is Damon Silvers. Would it be appropriate for me to read a statement from President Trumka at this point?
Yeah, I think that would be fine.
Okay. I believe that our bylaws, Austin, perhaps you can give me guidance. It's my understanding from looking at our bylaws that I cannot vote on his behalf absentee. Is that correct?
I think that is correct.
In that case,
right, Emmanuel? That's right. You cannot. No one can vote. He's got to actually be present in the meeting, and there's no proxy voting.
So in that case, it's all the more important that I think.
Yes, that's why I think it is appropriate.
Read this brief statement from President Trumka. It's as follows. I support this memorandum because I believe deeply in the need to achieve the objectives of addressing the threat of climate change and achieving the goal of energy independence while creating jobs. I wish to note, however, that the memorandum profoundly and inappropriately states the importance of retrofitting commercial and industrial buildings, which contribute an equal amount of carbon emissions to homes and are more easily retrofitted. Secondly, this memorandum, while it recognizes the importance of creating good jobs, does not provide any effective mechanism for ensuring the jobs created are ones that provide a living wage or benefits. These issues must be addressed if this memo is to be turned into action. And that's the conclusion.
That's the statement. Okay. Well, that seems perfectly appropriate for this moment in the discussion.
Austin, let me be clear. Had Rich been here, he would have voted yes.
Yes. That is, and I was just looking here. David Swenson is not going to be able to make it, but I'm seeing if he sent a statement. He said David Swenson and Laura Tyson, both of whom were not able to make it, each sent. They did not have a statement, but they both said that they strongly approved of both of the proposals. So had they been there, they would have voted for them.
I don't remember, Austin, but do we have a budgetary cost on this?
I don't think that we have any more detail than what is the is in that.
It says some money is already in the I guess the stimulus program.
There are some in the Recovery Act. I don't think that we went into that level of detail in our memo.
Austin, I had a comment too, Jim Owens.
This is Jim Owens. Yes.
Yeah, I sent it to you and to John. You know, I'm very supportive of this recommendation, but I do feel that the Homestar program needs some kind of a sunset clause. You know, probably because it will cost money and it does drive bureaucracy and cost over time. And we're dealing with a kind of a crisis situation of very high unemployment in this sector. Therefore, I strongly support it. But I think it should have maybe a 3-year or 5-year sunset clause that by that point in time, I think we should have a pretty solid housing recovery in the country as well as a price on carbon. So I don't see this as a lifetime ongoing thing.
Understood. Would anyone else like to express thoughts on this one?
This is John Doerr. I would like to respond to Jim's comment to say that to back up this memo, and the memo is what people are voting on, there was a very detailed model built and a time horizon of perhaps 2 years after which the program would be phased out. It is complementary, very similar to proposals that are in the two different climate bills, which is what the ERAB originally endorsed, and they could pick up where it left off. And an essential part of this is that the incentives in this program would be dialed down over time. So we don't just pick one number or incentive, but rather give the group that's doing this, wherever it's to be implemented, the recommendation that, as with the California Solar Initiative, they change the numbers, say, every 6 months, so we get the right amount of jobs and get the demand to meet the supply to do this good work.
And, John, was it not also the case that that the thinking was we would want to be somewhat generous up front and explicitly have it kind of tailor off precisely to try to induce people to move their actions up?
Exactly right. And I'm over the 20-year period of time that we should do this work, this can be a completely self-supporting industry with no incentives.
John, that's my point. I think I agree. It should be self-supporting as there's a price emergent on carbon. But I don't want to keep a bureaucracy around to administer it for the next 20 years. So that's why I wanted to be explicit about a sunset clause. But
I'm sorry. This is the court reporter. Can the last speaker identify themselves, please?
That was Jim Owens.
Thank you.
I should also have said that Jeff Immelt, who is not on the call, had sent in that he approved strongly of the retrofit proposal as well.
Can I ask a question? This is Marty Feldstein. I see it says that the plan is designed to jumpstart an industry of over 1 million workers retrofitting 100 million U.S. homes. So if the key word is jumpstart, does that mean that after it gets started, the subsidies would be withdrawn, and so there wouldn't be a subsidy for 100 million homes?
Marty, that's a very good question, and the answer is not withdrawn, but tapered down over time. Hopefully, and again, we do not have legislative language here, but were this in legislation, I'd have an authority that can dial this down over time, as was done in California, as is being done with their solar incentives.
100 million homes, if it weren't tapered down at a $3,500 per home.
That would get expensive.
It's just done the arithmetic. It's about $350 billion.
Absolutely correct.
I understand what you said earlier, John, in the backup material, not only would tape it down, but the hope would be it wouldn't require a subsidy.
That's correct, Chairman Volker.
Should be eliminated after 2 to 3 years.
That was certainly, if there was any, it sounds like there was some confusion on the wording. This is Austin Goolsbee. That, my understanding, John, is that was 100 million was a broad goal for climate change. The aspiration for a program like this was a 2 to 3 year time frame of a much more modest number, meant kind of as a seed program to get the thing going.
Yeah, I think that ought to be made explicit, because if the headline that comes out of this is that the administration is considering a multi-hundred-billion-dollar permanent program, that will just increase concerns about fiscal deficits.
About it. Understood. That was Marty Feldstein speaking. And
Jim Owens, that's exactly why I wanted to be explicit about a sunset. I think it should end after a 2 to 3 year period.
Well, the question in my mind is, Paul Volcker, can we handle this by a kind of explanatory statement instead of amending this language for some people?
Yes.
Out here, is that satisfactory?
Yes.
I think this is Roger. I think that suggestion makes a great deal of sense. So I understand the desire to sunset, but as a procedural matter, I think your approach is very wise.
Yeah, I think procedurally we can say, and this will be reflected in the public record, that it was the intention of the subgroup in writing that document that it would be phasing out over a short period of exactly the form you guys are saying, and for the reasons that you said.
We ready to vote?
It seems like we are ready to vote. So why don't we go down the roll call? Paul Volcker, Chairman.
Aye.
Anna Berger.
Aye.
John Doerr.
Aye.
Bill Donaldson.
Aye.
Marty Feldstein.
Aye.
Roger Ferguson.
Aye.
Mark Galogli.
Aye.
Monica Lozano.
Aye.
Jim Owens.
Aye.
Charles Phillips.
Aye.
Penny Pritzker.
Aye.
Robert Wolf.
Aye.
Okay, with no further objection, that becomes official. I should have said at the outset, as we all know, the Economic Recovery Advisory Board is an outside body. It is not a component of the administration, and this makes official that it is the official recommendation of the PRAB that the administration, and we will report this to the president himself, that he should consider this idea we put forward. Our second subject that we are going to vote on came out of the work of the jobs subgroup and concerns the National Infrastructure Bank. The chair of the jobs subgroup, Laura Tyson, is not able to be on the call. Robert Wolf, do you want to say a quick word about the proposal, and then Charles Phillips, if you want to say a quick word, and then we might open up to discussion on that.
Great. Thank you, Austin. You know, on behalf of Laura and the group, the Jobs Committee spent, you know, a good 4 or 5 months on the idea of creation of a national infrastructure bank. I'll spend a minute just to give a summary. Obviously, against a backdrop of continued unemployment and sluggish medium-term economic growth, the committee explored how to increase infrastructure to expand economic output and employment. And in light of the funding gap and problems with appropriation process, the subcommittee has spent significant time discussing a new national infrastructure bank as an effective method of achieving these economic outcomes. The specific objectives of the national infrastructure bank would include provide financing for projects of national or regional significance, to establish a transparent merit-based approach to project selection, to multiply public sector funds by inviting private sector co-investment where appropriate, and by cementing a long-term commitment to infrastructure. The operating and structural principles would be the following. The National Infrastructure Bank would be a wholly owned government corporation or independent agency. The aim would be to be self-sustaining once initial government capital is received. The President's fiscal year 2010 budget includes funding of $25 billion over the next 5 years to capitalize a National Infrastructure Bank, although the PRAB would recommend a higher initial capital base to support the NIB, this idea. The National Infrastructure Bank would offer a variety of financing tools for project sponsors, including loans, guarantees, and a limited circumstance pre-developed grant. And the National Infrastructure Bank would supplement, not replace, other infrastructure funding sources, and it would coexist with forms such as the TIFIA program, municipal bonds, and private sector projects. Thank you.
Charles, did you want to add any to that?
Yeah, I'd just add that there are dedicated funds that already exist that want to invest in infrastructure. And right now they're doing that largely outside of the U.S. They co-invest with other governments, so we tap into a pool of private funds and co-invest along with the government. Secondly, this model has been successful in other parts of the world. The European Investment Bank is a great example, been around for 50 years. And then thirdly, I just think the timing couldn't be better with the constraints around municipal and state bond and financing right now. And the fact that these are the exact type of jobs that we're trying to get going again, the timing is perfect.
One way of looking at this, not the only way of looking at it, is this is a kind of instrumentality that might provide more assurance of effectiveness and efficiency in infrastructure programs, which in total will involve much more money, I think, than this particular proposal. There is a lot of interest, obviously, in the infrastructure area, and this is one way of approaching it with, we hope, maximum efficiency and effectiveness.
Okay, well, let's open up to more discussion. I know this has been an area the subgroup has worked a lot about, and we follow on some of on both this and the retrofit on some of the things that we discussed when we had our meeting with the president in November. Would anybody like to make further comments on that?
Austin, I should add, this is Robert Wolf, similar to what John Doerr said on the prior memo. We obviously have a lot of work and appendix that goes along, obviously, with this memo that shows different detail and idea.
Yes.
Austin, Jim Owens, just a comment. I strongly support the Infrastructure Investment Bank. I think we have woefully underinvested in our infrastructure for the last many years, but it doesn't substitute for the need also for a multi-year highway funding bill, which is currently expired and pending, and this, that has also big implications for employment near term.
Austin?
Yes.
This is Damon. Can I just say a word on President Trumka's behalf?
Certainly.
He wanted to express his gratitude to the other members of the subcommittee and to the staff folks who worked on this. As you've alluded to, this took a lot of work and a number of rather complex issues. President Trumka felt that this came to a good place and very much agrees with the comments about how important these issues are for jobs and how important it is that this integrate with the existing landscape of finance, both at the federal and state and municipal level. But again, the main thing he wanted to convey was his appreciation for everyone's work on this.
That's great, and I'm sure if Laura were here, she would be the first to express that it was worked out well to have such a good diverse group in the subgroup, and I think our document is stronger because we worked through a whole lot of complex stuff.
I guess you can call the roll, Austin.
Okay, now they told me I violated the protocol on the last calling. You, as the chair, are supposed to call on a member to move that we have a vote. But only a member is allowed to start that motion, and I started it last time, so you got to do it. Okay, perfect. Okay, so Chairman Volker.
Yes.
Anna Berger.
Yes.
John Doerr.
Yes.
Bill Donaldson.
Yes.
Marty Feldstein.
Yes.
Roger Ferguson. Mark Galogli.
Yes.
Monica Lozano.
Yes.
Jim Owens.
Aye.
Charles Phillips.
Aye.
Penny Pritzker.
Aye.
Robert Wolf.
Yes.
Okay. What? Oh, Jeff Immelt, Laura Tyson, and David Swenson had all three also sent in that they would have supported this had they been on the had they been able to make the call. Okay, with that, I believe that we are done with our official business. Chairman Volker, do you have other things that you would like to bring up?
Official business.
I'm sorry, Austin. I may have missed my opportunity to vote on that. I would like to vote aye.
Okay, Roger. Perfect. That's great.
That makes a 12-0 vote in favor.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I appreciate the cooperation of all members here and absent.
Thank you
okay.
very much.
Okay. Have a great weekend, guys.
Good work. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.